I think most of us were in the fellowship this last Lord's Day in the citywide meeting where we released to the church the banners for this year. And I hope you remember that. We pray for that even in the prayer meeting this week. The brotherhood, loving the brotherhood, the priesthood, serving in the priesthood as the holy and royal priesthood, and then overcoming. And of course, we're here in a session on touching the matter of the next generation of the children and our serving together. Of course, we have both parents and serving saints here, but I hope that we realize this session is a kind of development of this burden on the priesthood. We do hope that in all the halls, in every district, every serving saint, in every service, including the music, including the cleaning, including the gardening, and not every hall has gardening, I think, but some of the halls have gardening, the maintenance, then the children, including the nursery, from the nursery, all the way through any service related to the university students and the young adults and every area of service. I hope that the saints could be helped. And saints need to be helped to see this. This doesn't just come. To see what? That every service should be part of the priesthood.
Right.
Okay. What does that mean? Well, here in 1 Peter 2:5, this verse that we've just read and pray read, it says, "You yourselves also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house." A spiritual house. Amen. Well, what does that mean? Into a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Well, my very early years were not in the church life. I was in the Brethren denomination. And I can tell you that there, before I came to the local church, if you would say spiritual, this phrase, spiritual, I had a certain concept. What does that mean? I don't know if the children growing up among us, maybe they acquire the same religious concept. I wonder if I would ask you, if I take the time to ask some of you who've grown up among us, what is spiritual? What does that mean? There's a concept that it's a kind of certain behavior, a certain, maybe I'll use this word, we don't use this word very often, piety, certain piety. And sometimes we might, I wonder if these words ever came out of our lips. Oh, don't be so spiritual. I won't ask you if you've ever said that to anybody. But have you never thought it? Have you never thought it? Like, oh, she's so spiritual. But not like, oh, she's so spiritual. It's like, oh, she's so spiritual. Yeah, kind of, you understand what I mean? In Ephesians, it says, there's a kind of a sister verse to this. We are a dwelling place of God in spirit. Now, I think when you read that verse, you get a different feeling. This means you're just in the spirit. And in the spirit, God's dwelling place is real.
Yes.
In the spirit, God is making his home, yes. Right? Actually, you need to apply Ephesians 2:22 to 1 Peter 2:5. What does it mean to have a spiritual house? That means in God's house, just this, you exercise your spirit. You cannot be truly, genuinely spiritual if you don't exercise your spirit. So, for every service, we want all the saints. And we're in a situation that actually is most blessed, brothers and sisters. Most blessed. In, I think, nearly every meeting hall, we have brand new serving ones. We have people who had never served before. And we described this situation in the meeting on the Lord's Day. We were in a period of kind of isolation. We were mostly online, except for Staten Island. But the rest of us were online. And as we started coming back into the in-person meetings, I'm pretty sure this is accurate. I know the situation here in Hall 1. It was whoever is breathing, come and serve. Whoever's, you're breathing and you're present, you're serving. And I think in many of the halls, it's been like this. And so saints were drafted into the service. Okay, I'm not criticizing that. That's actually wonderful. That's the Lord's even sovereignty. That's the Lord's sovereignty. And one thing that I've observed is many of our young people are serving today more than ever. This makes us so happy. This is like our joy and crown. And I think I mentioned this on the Lord's Day. I snuck out one Lord's table time for a few minutes. I went downstairs here, and I used to do this, in Manhattan. Like we'd go, remember the third floor? We'd have the opening on the third floor. And just to be there and observe, actually just to drink it in, And it was so refreshing. But the most encouraging thing here, in this recent, my recent observation, was, I don't know, Daniel, you're involved with that service, with the opening? How many brothers? About in on a typical week?
Six or seven.
Yeah, that was my impression. There were probably six or seven brothers up there. And these are, sorry. These are our children, you know? These are our children. But they're grown up and bearing responsibility. Yeah. Actually, Daniel, that was one of my first services, opening, when I was 16 years old in the church here. And so, actually, my first service, I've mentioned this before, was actually at Paul Stumpf here. We were on the same team. We were put on nursery. You remember that? We were put on nursery. There was an announcement at a Friday night meeting. I still remember. Brother Gene gave this announcement. But not this hall. We had that little meeting hall there. And you know, the original hall here. And we had the Friday night meeting. And incidentally, all the high schoolers came to the Friday night meeting.
Right.
Like everybody came to the meeting. And the high schoolers functioned in the meeting too, just by the way. And then there was an announcement. Oh, there's a special fellowship downstairs, for all those serving on nursery. And all the high schoolers, please also go down, because as of tonight, you're all on nursery. That's how we started our service life. So then after some time, I remember I was moved by the brothers to opening and the children's meeting. And so that was, anyway, too many stories to talk about. But wonderful days. So it was so encouraging to see those brothers leading the singing, bearing responsibility. Then I was told, oh, the next shift, is it 2 weeks later? Well, 1 week later, is the girls, the sisters. But I haven't observed the sisters yet. So I'll find out from you. When's the next time? I want to drop in just to see. And it's so good that, and I've noticed this in all the halls, particularly music, but also ushering. I've gone to some halls where there's a middle school brother with his little tie, and he's got his, you know, this maybe suit or not, but his little tie, and good morning. That's like so encouraging. That's wonderful. But I hope, even the little brother could be helped to see what is the service. At their level, they can enter in and they can have some vision of what is the service. Do not underestimate the young people, please. Do not underestimate the capacity of, okay, don't think of them as young people. Think of them this way, a young brother, a young sister. This is a sister. They are believers, and they have their human capacity, and actually, many of them do a lot of things and bear responsibility, even in clubs and various functions and leadership roles and, you know, in school and so on. And then, sorry to say, we treat them like they're, you know, our children. But and I'm not saying, oh, because they're a leader there, bring them to be a leader here. Don't do that. Don't do that. There are lessons of death and resurrection that even they have to learn. And they can learn, even in high school. We can testify. We learned some of these lessons in high school, not in the full-time training. Actually, there was no full-time training for us to learn. We had to learn all these lessons in the church life. And they can be learned. So please don't underestimate them. Because they also, besides their human capacity, they have the capacity of the divine seed. Amen. And that seed, if they foster that, will grow in them. And they can learn these lessons. And they can have, to some measure, this vision. I know it's difficult for some of the parents who have the children to think of your child as a sister or a brother that can have vision of God's economy. It's an adjustment for parents sometimes as they're growing up. You have to see them. This is a brother. This is a sister. And pray for that. We should pray for that. But our heart, saints, is the young ones, the new ones. They all would realize that every service in the church has a spiritual essence. And if it does not, actually, it's not genuine service. And it does not build the church. And if we do not help the saints, and I'm going to emphasize this again, we have to guide the saints. The saints that are, the Lord has put with us. Not so much by preaching, but by pattern. Although, especially in the second session, I'm going to encourage that we have some informal training sessions. I know maybe that word scares people. Maybe what's the other word that we use to kind of tone it down is workshops. Have workshops in each hall. Or maybe like the two halls in Manhattan can come together on a Saturday afternoon or a Lord's Day afternoon. Bring the serving ones together. That to just go through, we're in the second session, we're going to hand you these two outlines. Actually, very short. And even shorter. Yeah, two outlines. But 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, this is 2019, we went through a series. And we had a kind of informal training. My impression was that helped to uplift the standard of the service in every hall. But we need a refresher now. We need a refresher. All the saints that have some experience that pass through that need a refresher. But many saints who never went through that, they need a foundation. They need a foundation. And I say again, saints, the ones among us, they need to be brought into this realization, vision, and burden. I think if anyone would ask you or say this way, you need to perfect the ones with you. Many of us here would say, perfect. Oh no. I can't perfect anybody. I don't know how to do that. Well, actually, probably everyone here would say the exact same thing, including Brother Dennis and I. How do you perfect people? I don't know how to perfect people. We just have to be faithful to what? Pass on what we learn. Pass on what we have learned. Then we have this morning. We had 2 Timothy 2:2. Yeah? The things that you have heard from me, right? Through many witnesses, right? These what? Commit to faithful men who will be able or competent to teach others also. That's all we can do. What we have received, we pass on. And then, after you received, thing is, you have your own experiences that you can pass on. And I know, this is from a testimony, from my experience. Many times, what we can pass on is our mistakes. And we can tell people, don't do this, don't do that. One thing, oh, Daniel, I'll tell you one mistake, big mistake. The sisters corrected me when I was doing the opening. This used to be at Dunton House. We had the children's meeting at Dunton House in those days. In the living room, we had the children. And six of us were assigned to the service. three older brothers, older, they were in their 20s, and three high schoolers. And I can't remember who the other one was. I think some of you will remember. Joe Falou was one. I forgot who the other one was, and myself. And it may have been actually Richie, your brother Richie. I think it was Richie and Joe. And Richie and Joe played guitar, right? So in their teaming up with the older brother, these high school brothers played guitar, and the older brother kind of, you know, directed the. But in my case, on my team, I didn't play guitar. And I was put with a brother who played really well. So he was often in the background playing. I was the one, 16, leading the, how old are you? 16, okay. So I was the one leading. Okay, this happened a couple of times. I got the kids like, you know, marching and up and down, and they got so, and so then they went to their classes and they were, and the sister said, don't do that. Don't do that. So what you're doing is preparing them for the lesson. So in a sense, the singing time is in the function of John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Do you understand this? That it's to prepare the way of the Lord. It's to prepare the ground so the ground can be softened, so the seed of the word of God can be sown into them. So, but if you get them all, then the teachers have to spend half the lesson time calming them down, so you are counterproductive. Anyway, that's a lesson I learned. I made a mistake, but I learned. I said amen, and I tried to learn at least. I don't know. I never got a grade or anything like that after that. But my point is, I pass that on. It's a kind of perfecting. That's all we're talking about. So you mentioned the things that work, the things that don't work. But especially what we want you to pass on to the younger ones, the newer ones, what we want all the saints to be reinforced with is the very basics of our service in the body and in God's economy. And what is that? Very simple. Prayer, fellowship. Prayer, fellowship. What is our vision, saints? Actually, this is the outline that we're going to give you. The first one is called the vision, the person, and the way of one who serves the children. The vision, the person, and the way. We need a vision first. We need a vision. What are we doing? What are we doing? We're building the church. And these are vessels. These are vessels that are eventually for the building of the church. But in our service right now, we may say, oh, that part of the service, preparing the children, is something for the future. But I'm serving with these brothers today. So while we're doing something for the future, we are being built as the church today. So, what is our vision? Actually, in God's economy, our vision, very simple, is Christ and the church. Christ and the church. That's Ephesians 5:32. And you can say this in a different way. You can say it's the Spirit and the body. The Spirit and the body. And that's from Ephesians chapter 4. But how do you apply the Spirit and the body? Prayer and fellowship. How do you get the Spirit? How do you get into Christ? How can your service be spiritual? Well, surely you have to pray. You have to come to the Lord. And that is the holy priesthood, where we bring, the first person we bring to God is me, ourselves. Then we fellowship in the principle of the body. We never just make up something on our own. We always serve in the context of the body. Even, and I hope this doesn't happen, but even if you end up serving alone one day. Yeah. So you're going to serve the other person last minute, they got sick, or something, they can't, and you're there, but you're still in the body. And you're not there just out on your own. Sometimes we use this phrase, out on a limb. I don't know if it translates into the other languages, but that means that you're, you know, there's a branch, and then you're at the end of the branch all by yourself, and then you're afraid the branch will break. Sometimes you may feel that way when you're serving, but if during the week you had fellowship, if, as many practice, Thursday night or Saturday morning, you come together, and in those days, we always were able to come together in person. Actually, the meeting halls were very busy. There was like a buzz around the meeting hall on Saturday mornings. And so many groups meeting together, praying together. Then I'm going to give a lesson, but I get the benefit of Emmanuel's labor, of Israel's labor, because we got together and they shared their feeling, I shared my feeling, I even checked. I was thinking of giving this illustration. That gives you the opportunity for someone to say, well, you know what, I think that illustration is a little older than the group. I don't think they'll get it. And it's good to know that on Saturday rather than on the Lord's Day when you're going to teach that. Oh, I was going to bring in this craft. And you show everyone. And then the saints say, well, you know, actually, if you show this, some may have this impression. And there might even be something, some design, something that's against something in the Bible. We have to be careful. And so, oh, this happened. Countless times, things like this have happened. Why did it end up that the parents, the children come home and the parents see like, what kind of craft is this? Why? Because it was not processed and screened through fellowship. There was not enough fellowship. Now fellowship, brothers and sisters, fellowship. Most often when we talk about fellowship, we talk about talking. I talk to you, you talk to me. We have fellowship, and it's something Christian. So we call this fellowship. Okay. Fellowship, actually, this aspect of fellowship is really the supposed to be the flow of life. From my spirit to your spirit. From your spirit to my spirit. Not from my mind to your spirit. It doesn't reach. It has to be maybe from my mind or through my mind. Process through a moment, but the source should be my spirit to your spirit. And then your spirit to my spirit. That's fellowship. Okay. But fellowship has another function. Fellowship has another function. And that first function, we often give this example of like a river flowing, water flowing from me to you, you to me. The second function is more like the skin of the body. That is a covering, a protection. You know, our skin is our biggest organ. And what is the function? The function is to cover and protect all our internal organs, right? If there's an opening in the skin, that's not good. That's not good. And sometimes when someone has an accident, there's a larger opening of the skin. That's not good. You could lose your life over that. Okay, you know what fellowship is? It provides covering. It provides protection so that the enemy cannot attack you. And so that there wouldn't be what happened? Oh, the teachers. Oh, how could they do this? Oh, see? Now the enemy has some ground for opinions and so on. If you have more fellowship, that something like that is less likely to happen. I won't say it'll never happen, but it's less likely to happen. So we all are protected in the fellowship. I'm sorry, I don't think our new ones know this. Sometimes our new ones, they come in, oh, they have a lot of ideas. They have a lot of ideas, especially if they're a secular teacher. Or some come to us from Christianity. And they were a Sunday school teacher there. And they have a file. They have a file. And they want to bring things in. Sorry, too much leaven. Too much leaven there. Too much of the world or of religion there. And things that are not accurate according to the scripture. So we don't like to make any reference to any other material. And I'm concerned that especially some of our younger saints may from a good heart, but trying to find resources, particularly for crafts, you go to the internet and find things there that actually would not pass the screen test of fellowship. Please have fellowship about every detail, about every detail. So you see, there's much to learn. There's much to pass on. And again, we'll distribute these outlines and you'll just have them. It's not that we're going to cover this today, but this is for your consideration, even to think about what things need to be talked about. Yeah, I just noticed that the, what do you call it? Formatting? Yeah. Anyway, maybe we could do, fix this up to give something more quality to the saints. The priesthood. We want all of this is to have the spiritual essence of the priesthood. That's our burden. Now, that and what I just mentioned, even though I gave examples concerning the children's work, is really general. It has to do with all aspects of service. Now I want to talk a little bit more specifically about the children's meetings, and the goal of the children's meetings. You know, the children's meeting has this kind of history in the Lord's Recovery. The children's meeting among us started when, of course, you know, the recovery really started in the Far East, and then spread to the West. And their experiences, particularly in Taiwan, was like this. That at first, the children's meeting, I don't know if it was called children's meeting, was simply a babysitting service. And that has its function, that you have all the children in one location. Like, for example, I believe there are children downstairs right now. I don't think they're having lessons. It's just to free you to be here so that you could be totally open. You know your children are fine, and you can participate. This is the number one function. And this has in view the strengthening of the church meeting. And this function, even, we need to strengthen more. Because some parents, along the way, they have the tendency, I mean, we've witnessed this here and there, that they bring their children and stay with their children in whatever the children's meeting is. And actually, at times, are not a help to the situation because they're not in coordination. So it would be best if the dear parents, particularly the mommies, would trust the serving ones and leave the child, and then go to the meeting. We don't want the parents to miss the supply in the church meeting. Actually, I hope we'd all be clear. Our number one service is actually the church meetings. Corporately, as a Christian, your number one service is the feast. Look at the book of Exodus. Our top service, priority service, is the church meetings. We don't want a situation where the same saints are serving week after week after week, always missing the church meeting. We know in smaller localities, in smaller districts, it's hard to avoid for a period of time that some of the same ones are serving week after week or every 2 weeks on a rotation. We really need to pray for the increase so that we have more critical mass to strengthen the services. Because the church meeting is the top priority, is the important thing. So even this function, let us not look down on this function. The so-called, I call it babysitting function. Actually, it's parent releasing function. It's to release the parents to be present in the church meeting, to receive the supply, and also to participate and function in the church meeting. Okay. Then, gradually, this wasn't instantly, there in Taipei, in Taiwan, gradually the brothers realized, oh, we have these children for 2 hours at least. We could do more with them. For what? Spiritual cultivation. To cultivate them and prepare them as vessels for the Lord. Prepare them as vessels for the Lord. And this is the primary function of the children's meeting, where we are preparing them. And I'll come back to this point to talk about what this is and what this is not. Okay. The third function that they found out is that actually the children's meeting is the number one gospel opportunity of the church. And I would say, for the most part, the churches in the West, the churches in North America, we have not tapped into this function nearly as much as we can. That is, to gain new ones, to invite friends. And of course, I'm not even talking about neighborhood children's meetings, but that's a part of this. That is, the children's meetings not in the meeting hall. The children's meetings in the homes is a wonderful opportunity to bring more children, that our children can invite friends. We have a little taste of this, even the family Bible camp, with saints inviting friends and cousins, and we've seen this. And in the past, we have held these so-called, it's somewhat of a misnomer, children's gospel meetings on Lord's Days. Some of you have participated in these. We used, maybe once or twice a year, we're on a special, it's really not technically a gospel meeting. It's really a special Lord's Day meeting where our children invite their friends. That's really all. And they get to hear something about Jesus. Yeah. And we have saints in the church that have come into the church. I remember it was Ben, right? Ben Cooley's classmate, right? When he was in elementary school?
Yeah.
Yeah, elementary school. You know Brother Ben, Dennis's son. He's in the Boston training now. But his schoolmate? Schoolmate came, the whole family came. Actually, we have, I know, many stories, but not too many stories from New York. I can give you stories from Brazil. I can give you stories from Sydney, Australia. I can give you stories from London, UK. I don't have too many stories from here. I want more stories. I want to have more stories to tell. Actually, we had a couple in Manhattan. I can tell you one story where a sister in, I think it was only 6 or 7 floors. It was Upper West, but actually pretty upper West. And at one point, she had at least five women in her building. It was like she preached the gospel without leaving her building. And she ended up with 5 women, I think. I don't know if they were all moms. At least one was a grandma. And I don't know if one of them was a nanny.
Yeah.
But the others were mommies. And they all had their children. And I know this was actually, most of them were under 2 years old. Most of them were under 2 years old. You said, how can you have a children's meeting with less than 2 years old? Okay, I'll tell you, ask Alice. Alice Dong is the one I'm talking about. She did this. And I think Maria helped her, Maria Kim, and Tina Chang. They wouldn't go there to help. They sing the children, and they can't sing, but they can. And they were happy. And one, I remember one of the moms started meeting with us in Hall 2 and was starting to serve on children's meeting. And after that, I lost contact because I went on. So I don't know, you know, the remaining fruit part, but it's very possible. Okay, but not even the neighborhood children's meeting. We could have a whole morning to talk about neighborhood children's meeting. Just the regular children's meeting. Week to week, doesn't need to be a special time to foster something in our children, Just invite your friends. And that our children's meeting would be new one friendly. New one friendly. Welcoming. Very welcoming. All the time. That would be very good. Okay. You see the three functions? Release the parents. Spiritual cultivation for, my goodness, years and 10 years, 12 years. If you go through high school, 13 or 14 years, starting from the pre-K, we have them in our hands every Lord's Day, every Lord's Day. In the children's meeting, you have them for at least 300 Lord's Days. How much can you accomplish in 300 sessions? Think of it that way. Actually, with some, no more 300, only 200. Have you accomplished what you should have in the first 100? If not, you have to make it up. I hope you consider this way. The brothers will say something a little bit later about the gospel to the fifth graders. But we need to prepare them. We need to prepare them and have the cultivation. And what is the cultivation? Actually, just this, preparing the vessel. Preparing the vessel. And I hope that all the ones who serve, who give the lessons, even the songs that we sing, we always mention this as a kind of warning. We always have to be on the alert for premature knowledge. We don't want to put premature knowledge into them. However, sometimes it's very difficult that we say, be careful for premature knowledge, but what we mean is not what the way the saints take it. So do not think that premature knowledge means we shouldn't teach the Bible. No, that's don't say that. And that has happened. It happened, Hiram. I gave a conference somewhere for the parents, and the following week, the elders called me. Brother Ricky, could you help us? The sisters say, Brother Ricky said, don't teach the Bible. Brother Ricky never said that, ever, like ever. So we had to adjust their understanding of that. The premature knowledge is simply this, something that doesn't match their age level. But with even my grandchildren, I 1, 2 years old, I sing songs with them about God. About Jesus, we sing to them to infuse them, and from the Bible. But it's not premature. I'm not telling them when they're 2 years old. Okay, Bianca, say God's economy is okay, and then pull out the life study. No, we're not doing that. But I can sing with her. She's three now. She's three. I believe God. I can sing this with her. And we can do everything and enjoy. So something's infused. I believe God. So she goes to pre-K. She's not in pre-K. But if she goes, I mean in school. And she knows, I believe God. And Papa believes God too. And my daddy believes God. And mommy believes God. And they have that in them. That's not premature. So please don't misunderstand what we say. But we have suffered from the other side of saints bringing premature knowledge into the lessons. So just keep this principle in mind. I know we could actually spend an entire morning just on this, but we don't have the time. Is we're building up, and I'm gonna write this down maybe for emphasis, this is my strong burden. We're building up in them a proper humanity. Proper humanity. Yes, we need to put in them the sense, when they're even very young, there is God. There is God. And that's not premature. Because every human being has at least one relationship with God. You're born with a relationship with God. Do you know that? That's creator. He's your creator. So everyone has this relationship with God. And everyone, everyone, even the little children, can pray, God, thank you. Thank you for my mommy, my daddy, and the sun, and the sky. And of course, some of them pray, and my dog, and you know, and they don't, like, you know, 5 minutes. It's wonderful. Because they're thanking God. That's okay. We don't foster this, a 2 or 3 year old. Oh, Lord Jesus, calling on the Lord in that way. Yeah, of course, some you can't avoid. You can't avoid because they see their mommy and daddy, they hear their mommy and daddy, so they, you know, call on the Lord. But what I'm talking about in the children's meeting, we don't foster this. Okay, children, let's all call. Oh, Lord, please don't do this. Please don't do this. That's premature knowledge. Yeah, because the Lord is not their Lord yet in that way. Of course, some children get saved very young. That's also difficult to, you know, to monitor, but not to foster premature knowledge that way. The main thing, after having the sense or the consciousness, there is God, is just this. For years, build up the proper humanity. Which means to be a proper child with proper respect. Oh, I tell you, if we can instill in any child respect for authority when they're young, their whole life will be blessed. Their whole life will be changed. The world today is so anti-authority. The whole trend of the world, anti-authority. If we could instill, obey mommy, obey daddy, love my sister, love my brother, and respect and take care of my belongings. Oh, I tell you, you put these three things in them, you can contribute to society. You can contribute to society. I respect my teacher. I respect the police officer. I respect authority. If you respect authority, putting things within them. How to, and even how to take care of their things, their toys. The parents may think, oh, I'm sending them to you to learn about God. We're sending them to you to learn about you, to respect you. That's what we're teaching them. Yes, we're using the Bible, because the Bible says, honor your mother and father. So we teach the Bible. And we give stories and examples of how the children obeyed their mommy and daddy and loved their brothers and even sacrificed for their siblings. And there's many stories about aunts and uncles and cousins and grandmas. Find the stories that strengthen those things. I do hope that the young ones, the new ones, would not enter into the children's service with a kind of religious concept. That all the time we're sharing the gospel, teaching them the spiritual things. We know of certain children's meeting, this was years ago, but it happened, where they were directing the children's meeting with the life study messages. They were reading the life study. Okay, then we have another book. Some of the high schoolers use a different book. What's that called? Journey Through the Bible. Even that, not with the children. Not with the children. Yes, we do take a journey through the Bible, actually, in our children's meeting here. But those lessons, oh, I tell you, are so processed by fellowship and years of trial and error and adjustment to bring down one principle, another principle, one principle a week to bring to the child. What are we doing? What are we doing? In Genesis chapter 2, I think it's verse 15, Adam was charged to do two things in the garden. To till it and to guard it. To guard it or to keep it. To till and to keep. That is what we're doing in the children's meeting. And that is what we're doing as parents and even grandparents. We're trying our best to soften their heart. Soften their heart. In the second session, I'd like to say more about how we do this as parents. Because as parents, we need to continually work on the children's hearts. So that, you know, in Proverbs, there's such a verse, "My son, give me your heart." But it doesn't work by quoting the verse to your son. "Hey, son, give me your heart." They're like, if you even have to say that, they're probably maybe a little late. We have to cultivate a relationship with them where their heart is open to us. I come again to John the Baptist. To a great extent, the function of the children's meeting, as we're doing this, is what? The function of John the Baptist. To do what? To bring down the high places. What is that? When they're too proud, we should help them to be humble. To fill up the low places. You know, many are low today, even among children. There's cases of depression more than ever, like in history. And put self-deprivation, and you have to fill them up to see God made you. You're perfect. Don't think of yourself that way. Use Psalm 139. You are wonderfully and awesomely made. We need to encourage some of the children. So, you know, a lot of this is with this realization that they are a vessel. And so, you're wonderful, but you better be careful what you take in. You know, we have this wonderful song, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Right? You don't know, saints. You don't know. I haven't served children's meeting since I was in high school.